Brighton Festival 2017. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Now, as it's the final show, obviously last night I set you some homework, Melita, because you've been having far too much fun gallivanting around amongst entertainers.
I've done it, miss. The dog didn't eat it, miss. Right. I've done it, miss.
There were four questions. Question one was your best experience of the festival. Keep it clean. Question two was your biggest disappointment of the festival.
Uh-uh.
Don't be too cruel.
Nope.
Question three was what surprised you the most. And question, keep it clean. Question four, the one that got away. What didn't you get to see and regret the most?
Where would you like me to start, miss?
Should we start with number one?
Let's start with number one.
Or should we go with the best experiences last? Should we go backwards?
Okay, let's go backwards.
Okay. The one that got away, what didn't you get to see and regret missing?
I would love to have seen Meow Meow. I saw Meow Meow at the Spiegel tent last year and I've seen her before and I would absolutely love to have seen Meow Meow, but you cannot be everywhere unless you clone yourself. So I hear by all accounts she was absolutely marvellous, but that was the one that got away.
Okay, the one that got away for me was the Gabriels because I've heard high things of that. I think it would have been lovely to see some theatre, some traditional staged actors. And I think it looked interesting and, yeah, and I'm well acted, etc. Very well acted. And I'm sorry I haven't got to see it. And you could say you could go tomorrow, but I can't.
You can't, no, but there are still... you may be lucky and get a chance of a return on that. So that's the Gabriels at the Attenborough Centre up at University of Sussex. And I would always say, you know, if you look at something, you think, I don't want to miss that, do have a look at the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org, because you may find that there are returns. Sometimes they release some extra tickets as if by magic. But, you know, people book up tickets in February and stuff happens in their lives. So sometimes there are returns for things.
So we regret missing the Gabriels and Meow Meow.
Mm-hmm.
What a surprise. Surprised you the most? That's question three.
Am I allowed two, miss?
Oh, go on. You can be surprised and shocked.
Thank you. I have to say Collisions at Lighthouse, which was the audio-visual 360 degrees virtual reality experience of being out in the Australian outback and experiencing a nuclear bomb test through the eyes of one of the Indigenous people who witnessed it, didn't know what was happening, saw an Aboriginal god rising up through the ashes, and it takes you right in to that scenario. And I have to say it was one of the most shocking experiences and technically incredible and very, very moving that I think I've ever had in terms of, like, you know, an engagement with technology. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant Collisions.
Okay.
Am I allowed that?
Yeah, you said you were going to have two.
Oh, okay, yeah. Endings we were just talking about. I really loved Endings at the start of the festival, which, as you said, the Australian meditation on death and recordings of people talking about their experiences of loved ones dying. And it was very beautifully staged visually, where allegedly the recordings were on tape, which was looped across the stage, and allegedly on records. I have to say, as anybody who's put a needle on a record without putting headphones on, putting it in the right place is quite difficult. So I'm suspending my disbelief with that one, so I don't actually think they were playing it off of records and tapes, but I like the sound, I like the visuals.
So far it's a bit of an Australian love in as far as you're concerned. You've been raving about Depart, you're now saying your Collisions, which is Australian, and Endings, Australian. There's a theme here, isn't there?
I actually didn't realise that, but maybe there's just been a lot of Aussies in the programme.
Yeah, there are. There's a bit of an Australian theme running through the programme.
And your surprise, my dear?
My surprise was actually last night at the Dome, Brightfields.
Yes.
Because I never know whether I'm going to enjoy a dance production or just sit and go, well, whatever. And actually, I really loved it. But what surprised me was my friend, who I've been friends with for 31 years, did not like it at all.
What?
She just...
What?
I know.
Sometimes there is time for a friendship to end.
I know your mouth is wide.
It's gob.
Aghast. I was aghast because I came out thinking, oh, I'm so glad that my friends saw this because I love it. And the others liked it, but she was like, nope. Not for me. So it just shows, I mean, I think that's, to an extent, I think it's great. We can't, if we all loved the same thing, we would all buy One Direction and we would all be queuing at the multiplex for the same film. So,
but, I know you do.
But Brightfields, I loved that show, and not just because they were nude for a lot of it. Which actually, dear old Theo, the choreographer who came in and spoke to us,
He is officially my sweetie pie at the Brighton Festival. Yeah,
he kept stum when you said to him on the videos, "What's really interesting is the costumes for this piece, Theo." And he just said, "Yes, the costumes," without saying actually, for about 20% of the show, they don't wear any costumes.
And I think if they put in big black or flashing red capital letters in the programme, "Contains nudity," there would have been more people there. Maybe I thought it was a disappointing house, considering what a fantastic piece of work it was, and a premiere as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the weather played a part, and there's so much going on. But I would say that Brightfields, if it's on again somewhere, it's a stunning piece of dance theatre, and the general experience was great. I loved it.
Also, Theo Klinkard is now an associate director of the Brighton Festival and Dome, so we'll be seeing more of him. And if you want to catch up with the podcast with him, if you go to Audio Boom, you'll find our Bite Size Festival podcast. And I would say, if you like the work of Hofe Schächter and you like kind of quite large-scale dance performances, and I thought it was absolutely stunning, then you will definitely like that one. So I'm definitely with you. I agree with you. It was marvellous.
Good. Now let's deal very quickly with the disappointment, biggest disappointment of the festival.
I have to say it was Swan Lake. I didn't know what to expect from this. It was fantastically performed. It was a dance piece with acting in. It started off quite promisingly with a man in his underpants being kind of tethered.
not often you say that, Melita.
Oh, I know. And he was tethered up on a rope making barring noises. I haven't got a clue what it was all about. There were some very sumptuous swan wing outfits, and the central actor who played variously an abusive Catholic priest and a corrupt politician. I mean, it was fantastically staged. It looked great. But I was just left scratching my head. What on earth is all this about? And I kind of came away thinking, well, the message I got from that is that women and swans get a rough deal from men. But I'm not sure if that was meant to the message. And I looked at the programme afterwards, and it was talking about depression. And I thought, well, I don't think I'd have been any the wiser if I'd seen that. But you know what you were just saying about people love things and other people just don't get it. Most of the audience were standing up and hooting and hollering, and I was kind of sat there clapping politely, going, "What have I just seen?"
Yeah, if artists aim to please every single person, we would get some absolute boring trite the whole time. I mean, you can't do that, can you?
No.
But so my biggest disappointment, and I think it's fair to say that I'm as disappointed as the people involved in this were, was the fact that Five Short Blasts moved from Shoreham to Brighton Arena, because I'd been looking forward to going out in a boat in a place which I didn't know at all, part of the town, the area, it's not the same town, but you know, Shoreham, a part of the area that I don't know, and taking a boat out there, and the fact that the audio clearly was directed at an experience in Shoreham. So that to me was just, I mean, I did enjoy my experience on Five Short Blasts, but it wasn't what it might have been.
That's a pity of that one. Go on then, what was your best experience of the festival?
My best experience, and I'm going to say this is my best experience so far.
Ooh.
Because
there's more
this weekend, and I am so giddy and excited about Depart, because I saw How Like an Angel back in 2013, and when the tickets went on sale, that was the one that just like leapt out the programme and thwacked me on the head and said, "Buy, get a ticket." So far... I'm juggling Spectra and being on the beach with the pebbles and everyone smiling.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with For the Birds and Roaming in the Woods, and just, yeah, that was magical.
It was absolutely stunning experience, wasn't it? Yeah. Am I allowed to have that one as well? And can I have Depart as well? Because I've seen it.
We are completely agreeing on something, aren't we?
We are. And can I also have Shirley Collins, please? I know that performance was way back in the mists of time. It was only a couple of weeks ago. It feels like it was a lifetime ago. Absolutely stunning performance by Shirley Collins at Brighton Dome. And you had the feeling, I mean, not only is she a living legend in her 80s, you had the feeling that you were there and present at something very, very magical.
Yep, you can have that as well. And I would say, if anyone's got their thoughts on what they loved or hated, or if they love or hate something Melita and I have said about performances and things at the festival, then, you know, tweet us, let us know your feelings, and let us know what you loved, hated, preferably loved, because there's been so much great stuff.
Yeah, fantastic, yes. And obviously, Kate Tempest was the guest artistic director in 2017. Has she succeeded? Well, I met with her before the festival started, and I asked her how much leeway she had with her choice of events.
Oh, it's an interesting process, because I drew up a big wish list and had many, many ideas that in reality were unworkable. But what happens is that you are invited to dream big, kind of thing. And then through a process of having lots of different conversations, you realise that certain themes are emerging and certain things are possible and certain things aren't. And there's a big group, there's like at least 20 people who are all specialists within their particular strand. So, for example, I know very little about contemporary dance, but that, like, there is somebody who specialises in that and who has spent all year going to watch different pieces from all over the world and can say, well, this year, this is what's incredible in this particular strand and you should check out these guys. And so I do, and it's been a very collaborative experience. And guest director, it's not, you're not the curator of it, but you are asked to bring a bit of your identity to the table when you know the lineup's being decided. And I feel really proud of the program that we put together. You know, I've had a lot of input, but at the same time, it's been truly collaborative. And lots of things in there that I'd had no idea about beforehand. You know,
one of the accusations levelled at the Brighton Festival is it can be very elitist and very Brighton centric, and that's not the case this year because things are happening outside of Brighton as a result of your input, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't know that was something that that was being levelled at the festival, but I did feel like when thinking about what I could possibly contribute, this was something that I think is extremely important across the board, like just an understanding of how difficult it is for people to travel, to get into town, to spend money on transport, to have access to childcare, like these things that for some reason people just do not seem to think that this is an issue for people. Like, and I, in my head and heart, I was from the beginning very excited about this idea of including just a bit more than the very, you know, buzzy centre of town in this incredible festival that comes here. And I just wanted it to be a bit more open. So these community centres in Whitehawk and Hangleton are, for me, such an exciting part of this year's programme. What we're going to be doing, I wanted it to run for the entire festival, but because it's a brand new enterprise and that was a little bit impossible, but what we are going to have are two weekends, one at Hangleton, one at Whitehawk. We've been working with steering committees of community groups that are based in these centres, and they've been talking about, you know, what they would like to have in the centres, and it's been a great experience, I think, for everyone involved to just break some of the ice that exists, you know, in essentially assumptions. People assuming that somebody who lives in Hangleton doesn't want to come to the Brighton Festival. It's ridiculous, you know, of course. Like, so I'm really excited about the programme there. It's all free events, which is great, and lots of really exciting things, workshops, participatory things, also performances. And I'm hoping it's the beginning of a much kind of bigger legacy, that, and I think everyone involved in the Brighton Festival has been like really blown away by the experiences they're having in just talking to a bit of a wider section of the community.
There is an issue that when money is tight, funding is being cut. You know, the NHS is in crisis due to funding cuts, yet there's still money for wars down the back of the sofa. Mysteriously, what is the place for art? Because art does become marginalised, and art seems as a bit of a kind of like a cherry on the top of the cake that isn't really necessary.
Yeah, it's a really good question. Well, I think it is really necessary. I think it's necessary for our health, you know, for reconnecting us with our own humanity and therefore connecting us more intrinsically with the humanity of other people, which in this time is probably the most important thing that it could be doing, reminding us. Because I think for me, the greatest part of what happens when you go and see music or poetry or dance or whatever it is it's like a reminding. You discover a lot, of course, but also you're reminded of something that you already knew, and it lands you in the company of the others that you shared that experience with, but also out in the world, you know. And so I think that it's extremely important for that reason, but also to have access to creativity, to have access to your own creativity and the creativity of others. It's very important for personal growth, for mental health, for being able to get out some of the things that we carry around that can become too heavy, you know, and can cause problems for us if we don't have an outlet. So some of the problems with it come about when you're with what you expect the art to do or be for it to be understood as successful. This is an issue for us, I think. Like, in other cultures and in other times, the role of art, the role of poetry, was a kind of social role, you know, and it helped us to understand each other, understand ourselves, be together. But now we're asking for it to make us successful or things like this, which is, I think, it kind of inhibits the practice, and also it stops us being able to allow ourselves to enjoy it if we feel we're no good at it. And that's something that I think is important to say, actually, that this idea that you can't play an instrument because you don't know how to, you can't sing because you've got no voice, you can't write because you've never written, it's not, this is a strange particular dilemma that's happened to us that didn't used to exist, you know. a couple of generations ago that was not the case here. So I'm adamant that it's extremely important, and actually that we've got a long way to go before we realise actually how important it is in kind of re-establishing some of the connections that have been lost.
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival Hour.